is this mighty man right here, Brother Ben and I. I'd love to have brothers and sisters in the church like Ben and I that we're going to read about today. And just a few verses are given to him, but he did some great mighty acts. And these men are ranked also. Now, there's no ranking system for us who can be saved and who can't be saved. Yeah, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. But after you get saved, you better believe that, God puts a great stock on how we live, and that you can have the blessings of God upon your home and on your life. And you can be saved and not have the blessings of God on you because you're not obedient. But I'm going to skip down to verse 20 in 2 Samuel chapter 23 on these David's mighty men. I love Ben and I. He is my favorite. You pick you out a favorite. We went over Adino. We went over Eleazar. I love Shammah. Man, what a man he was. I love the three that did what they done. Uriah the Hittite is listed here. We'll get to him one of these Sunday morning Sunday school. Abishai. I love Abishai. Done a lot of studying on him. But I've dug in here on Ben and I. Let's get on Ben and I. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. The Bible says, "And Ben and I, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts." That's an S on the end of that act. Acts. "He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow." So here he slayed two lion-like men of Moab. And then he went down one time in a pit during a time of snow. In that country, it didn't snow much. And slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. That word goodly means he was a handsome man. If you go over to Chronicles, this Egyptian was 9'6" tall. That's how tall this Egyptian was. There's another account of Ben and I in the book of Chronicles. This Egyptian was 9'6" tall. He was a big, big man, like Goliath. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. And the Bible says over in Chronicles, I believe it's like a weaver's beam. I mean, it's like one of these beams that holds up his church in the middle right here. But he went down to him with a staff. So he had a beam, like a spear. Ben and I goes to him with a staff and plucked it. Plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. So he slew two lion-like men of Moab. That's a big, big thing there. He went down to a pit when it was snowing one time in the pit and got him a lion. And then he got this big Egyptian. He plucked his spear out of his hand and killed him with that. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mightily men. Now, we've got 37, and we looked at three last week. This man's got the name above the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. Now, he ain't the biggest one. He ain't the one that they put the highest rank on. I would think he would be, but he's not. And David set him over his guard. David made him his bodyguard. He's going on to be Solomon's bodyguard and member of his cabinet or his council, was where Ben and I is going to be. He's not the top one, but he's right up there, top notch. He is my favorite of David's mighty, mighty men that he's got. I love this about Ben and I. The Bible don't use words just to fill up space. Every word in here is so, so crucial and so important. God just don't put things in there just to fill up space and time and just to give us something to rattle on. Every word of God, every comma, everything in here is here for a reason and for a purpose. And first of all, it says his name is Ben and I. We're going to look at his background first. You know what his name means? His name means God builds. He's a man who God builds. Now, remember who Benaniah is. He's part of these 37 that came to David. He was distressed. He was discontent, like the Bible says. These outsiders, they was nobodies until they came to David. And when they came to David, they stayed with David. Remember I taught that? Through thick and thin. They stayed through him through the valley times, through the good times, through the bad times. These men were loyal, committed. These men stayed right there with David, and his name means God builds. Aren't you glad when you came to the Lord that God starts a building on you? Amen. God starts working on you. We sing that song, I'm a working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. You've heard that song. It's a Holy Ghost building. When you get saved by God's grace, you get positionally made a child of God. But God starts working on you and I from that very moment on till you die.
Amen.
It's called sanctification. Yep. And He starts building us. He starts working us. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That's why you got to have Sunday school. That's why you got to have Bible preaching in your life. Because God cleans us up. God gets things out of us through His word. And through situations in our Christian life and circumstances. Everything that we go through, when you get saved, it ain't all going to be peachy and creamy. You're going to have financial problems. You're going to have family problems. You're going to have struggles in your flesh. You're going to have all these things. But God, through all that, is building you. And Benaiah's name means God builds. God builds. And the Bible says twice here who his daddy is. The son of Jehoiada. And he just don't leave it at that. He says Jehoiada is a what? A valiant man. Now, if you think his name means something, Jehoiada. You know what Jehoiada means? I looked it up. God knows me. God knows me. That's what his daddy's name means. So his name means God builds, and his daddy's name means God knows me. Now, a lot of people say, I know God, but does God know you?
Amen. Amen. That's where
remember, they're going to come in that day. Jesus said they're going to come in that day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, I preached in your name. Lord, Lord, I sang in your name. Lord, I pastored church in your name. Lord, I've done all these mighty works. I give to your name. I help the poor in your name. Lord, I've done all these things. He said, depart from me. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
Knew me, but I didn't know you. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him in outer darkness. But Ben and I was blessed
Amen.
To have a man whose name means God. Amen. Had him named and had him placed in the scripture for a certain place who says, God knows me. And he was a valiant man. So no doubt, I looked him up. His daddy was a priest. Now, can you imagine being a priest where they lived at in that time that they lived? His daddy was a priest, a valiant man. God knew his daddy. I believe he had the very blessings of God upon his home down there in Kabzeel where they lived. And that name means something too. I looked it up. The place that they lived to. But his background, Ricky, was here's a man God. And you know something I got to think about God building. You know, when you was born, God knew, and I can't explain this to you. When you was born, God knew that you was going to be saved somewhere down the line. He knew because he knows everything. He also knows people that ain't ever going to be saved because everybody ain't going to be saved. And you know, God, from the time you was born, every little thing in your life God's going to use to build in your life. Every little mistake, everything that, you know, wrong turn that you might have made in your life, some bad learning that you got in your upbringing, all this stuff, these things that we go through, God uses all those things in our life to build on us. To build on us. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, don't it? To them that love God, to them who are the called. According and so God works everything in your life. So people say, well, I had a bad family, I had a bad upbringing, I had this horrible trauma happen to me. But God's got a way of using all those things that happened to you, and if we allow Him and be open to that, He'll build that in our lives. He'll use that for some way in His glory. Because David said in Psalm that even the evil of men, God turns that around and uses that for His praise. God took World War II. When all those millions of Jews were put in the concentration camp, God took that so the world would have somewhat of compassion on them people to give them a piece of property that was a swamp wasteland over there. Move those Jews over in that country, give those Jews that country, and then Harry Truman signed the thing in 1948, May 15, 1948, and the Jewish people become a country that Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38.
Amen.
5,000 years, God prophesied that, and God brought them all together after World War II and gave them a piece of land right there. And ever since then, the world has been hating the Jewish people.
Yeah.
God builds, don't He? You can't make that up. God, listen, God knows what He's doing. God took the evilness of Hitler and the evilness of World War II and used that to put His people back in His
Amen.
Land. Boy, ain't God smart, ain't He? But His name means God builds. His daddy's name means God knows me. And they grew up in a place called Kabzeel. Now, I looked Kabzeel up in them Bible maps in the back of your, in the back of your Bible. Kabzeel is the southernmost city in Judah. So it's like Kabzeel sits here, and the land of Edom is right on the border. Now, are you getting that? I mean, they lived on the county line, pretty much. They lived on the state line of here's the land of Edom, and here is Kabzeel. And Kabzeel means God gathers. So at the very southern part of Judah, way away from Jerusalem, God had a place where he was gathering people together right there in a very close area, proximity to the Edomites and the Moabites. Can you see what I'm saying right there? So Ben and I and his daddy served the Lord, loved God, did many mighty acts down there right at enemy territory. I mean, do you think there was a whole big crowd when they gathered in their house to pray? No. You think they was outnumbered down there on that border? You think they come in contact? We know they did, because he killed two lion like men of Moab here in a minute. But they stayed faithful. They stayed committed. Listen, this church house ain't going to be full out capacity today. We're outnumbered here in this community. We're outnumbered in this state. We're outnumbered in this country. We're outnumbered in this world. But God still gathers us, don't he?
Amen.
God still gathers us. God still builds us, and God still knows us. Right there, in just a few half a verse, God gives a mighty, mighty message about Ben and I, a mighty man of God. Boy, I love that, don't you?
Amen.
Look what the Bible says right here. And he had done many acts. There's a comma after Kabzeel. And we read the Bible, and we read over that stuff. We say he'd done many mighty acts. Well, that's good. Well, I looked up that word acts because I told you I meditate on this stuff and dwell on this stuff sometimes for days. Acts means, I looked it up. It means he was constantly doing something.
Amen.
He was constantly moving. He was constantly down there in Edom, Glen, on that southern border right there. Old Ben and I, Jason Burke, was constantly busy, constantly working, constantly moving, constantly doing something for God. The Bible said he had done many, many acts. So he's done a lot of stuff. He's constantly, if you want something done, I found this out. If you want something done, you don't ask the laziest man in the county to do it, do you? Because you ain't going to get it done. If you want something done, you ask a busy man that's doing something. Because a busy man will get it done. Well, God works that way. God wants something done. He looks for people that's already doing something for him.
Yeah.
He looks for people that's already involved in him. You know, people say, well, preacher, I want to get involved. I want to do something in church. Well, are you consistent and faithful in what you can do right now? Well, what do you mean? I've had people say this to me. I want to do something for God. Well, are you consistent and faithful right now doing what God wants you to do right now? Well, what do you mean? Well, how about on Wednesday night? Are you consistent on Wednesday? Are you consistent with your Sunday school? Are you consistent on church? And that's just time we gather. That's our gathering times. But how about on Monday? Are you consistent in your prayer time? Are you consistent in feeding your soul? People feed their flesh all week long, and they don't never give a thought for their soul that's going to live forever. Buddy, we got to feed our souls.
Amen.
Our mind and our will and our emotion. Yeah, we got to feed that thing that's going to live forever and ever. We're constantly feeding our flesh, ain't we? We're constantly feeding the thing that's dying, the thing we drag around. But you better feed your soul. When you leave this church today, we have a great service. You better be feeding your soul this afternoon. Because
right.
If not, your mind is going to get on tangents and things.
Right.
You better get up and have you some kind of devotion life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You better get your own. And everybody's different, folks. Everybody's different. But you better have you established prayer time.
Amen.
Just you and God. You better have you somewhere you can get in the Word of God. If it's listening to something that gets your... Feed your soul. Feed your soul. Be busy. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, Paul said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, always, not sometimes, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing you do for God, with the right motive is in vain. Nothing. Because God keeps meticulous records of everything that we do. And if it's done for him, even though you think, well, this ain't really matter, because we get in the flesh and we say, well, you know, what's it matter? I preached in revival at Paul Maurice's church, and they were so downtrodden. There was 20 of us there. And of the 20, four was the Blanton singers that came to sing, and five was me. I mean, that was five of us was there, was invited to the revival. So he had 15 people at his revival. And I know he was so discouraged by that. And I said, look, nothing that we do goes unnoticed by God. You sacrificed your time. You put yourself out, and you're here. And the little people that came there, God sees all that, and God honors that. I'm telling you, God honors that little bit of work.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged. Just keep on working for the Lord. But Ben and I was a man, Ricky, of many works. He was always doing something for God. And the Bible says in Luke 19:12, he said, therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. That certain nobleman is Jesus. He's going to a far kingdom. He's coming to return. And he called his 10 servants, said, come here, boys. And he delivered to them 10 pounds. He gave them some money. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. You know what the word occupy means? And it's only here in the Bible when Jesus says this is a parable. You know what the word occupy means? It means to busy oneself.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Jesus gave a parable. He said, come here. I'm getting ready to go off to my kingdom. He's using this nobleman. He said, now here, I'm giving you something. And I'm gonna come back. Now you get busy. Because the Lord's going to come back, and it's going to be too late to get busy then. Or you're going to get old like my daddy over here and sick, and he can't do nothing. I mean, he just sits there and prays. It's a big deal if makes it a day to church. I don't know if he will or not. But too late when you lose your health to get busy. And too late, while we got a mind about us to get, when you ain't got a mind about you to get busy. Busy yourself for God. What's it mean to busy yourself for? Do what you do. Do what you can with what you got right now. And get busy praying, feeding your soul every day. Buddy, God open the doors and use you. Tyler goes over here to Carl D. Perkins Center on Monday. You know, nobody goes over and preaches them people over there. He went over there Monday and preached them people. And they're starting to pick up some over there. People don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. I mean, they come and they'll ask questions, and he just tries to answer questions. He's out there getting busy. Garrett went up there and preached in a funeral up here. He wasn't expected to. They called him up there to preach. Thank God. Because they heard the truth that night. But he didn't go up there to preach. He just went up there and they said, well, you're here to preach. And the preacher's supposed to be ready in season and out. So he got up there and preached to them people, ministered to them best that he could, and spoke, you know, God planted the seeds. And he went on, but listen, busy yourself in the work of the Lord. You say, well, I ain't preacher, I don't sing. Busy yourself. Pray, feed your soul, live the Christian walk out here. You know, look here, I grew up in the church. I heard a lot of preachers. Some good, some wasn't worth 2 cents, wasn't called a bit more than that. But I heard a lot of preachers. That I needed that, I remember that. But you know what had more effect on me than them preachers? How my family lived outside
Amen.
Church with
Preacher.
Me
Amen.
Had more of effect on
yeah,
me.
Boy.
People than I knew that was real deal Christians had more of effect on
Amen.
Me. You know who had the most negative effect on me? People that was supposed to be in church, supposed to be, who had filthy mouths and filthy lives, and then they go down on Sunday morning and whenever and get spiritual. That devil uses stuff like that. But this man was busy. Doing something. Now watch this. Now we get into his battles. Watch this, Cameron. He slew 2 lion-like men. Old Moab. I'm going to get these lion-like men first. That word is Ariel, is what it is in the Hebrew. And you know, when they translated the Bible, they couldn't find a word for that. So they said, man, the only word we find close to that in the English is lion-like men. Because it's such a word, listen to this, it's such a word that's so, it's not used much over there in that Arab country, that they only reserve that word for like a mighty, mighty warrior man. He's like a lion out there trying to fight. And the Bible says here, he slew 2 lion-like men he slew 2 lion-like men of Moab. Well, what is Moab? Remember who Moab is?
Yeah.
Moab and Amnon? Who are them? Lot's incestuous relationship with his daughters produced Moab, which means I am of my father, filthy and nasty. That's what that means. They was filthy, nasty, bloodthirsty, vile people. Then Amnon, and they always battled the people of God. And they lived right there with the Edomites, which is out of Esau. So here this man is down there living for God. And these Moabites represent the flesh. What they represent. And they're mighty warriors of the flesh. And Ben and I went down there and slew two of them. Not one, two. Well, what's that mean, Brother Kevin? He said, these two right here are causing me problems. These two right here are causing issues for us down here in Kabzeel. And I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take care of them two right there. And he went down there and took care of two of them. I wish that we would be like the Bible said in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we can pass about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside what every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everybody here has got stuff that just aggravates the devil out of you. Everybody here just got stuff in your flesh that just aggravates you and really keeps you from having victory, keeps you from, and our communities eat up with it, and our families are eat up with it. Wouldn't God we just get mad in the spirit one day and said, Lord, I'm by your help and by your grace and by your mercy, because we don't battle flesh and blood. Your problem ain't your cousin. Your problem ain't your brother. No. Your problem ain't you. That ain't the problem. It's the spirit behind that. And the things that lie within you. We just get mad one day and say, God, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of battling this all the time. And just be like Ben and I and say, I'm going to go down there and I'm taking these out today. This is getting dealt with in my life today. I'm doing business today and taking care of this old issue that I have, because it's going to get you. If not, the Bible says he slew two lion-like men of Moab. It ain't going to be no easy fight anytime you got something in your flesh that you battle with all the time. Satan hangs on to that thing right there. But we got to be like in Joshua 10. Remember way years ago we was working through the book of Joshua. They had them five kings in Joshua 10. And all five of them kings represented issues that we have in our flesh. And Joshua said, put them boys in a cave. And roll a rock in front of that cave. So they put these kings in a cave. And they rolled a rock in front of that cave. Then Joshua went up there, and Joshua is a picture of Jesus, and said, roll that stone away. Jerked them kings out one by one, put his foot on their neck, and killed them. And then put them back in the cave and covered it up. That's what we will do with these things in our flesh that we battle with so much. Yeah. Put the stuff up. Do battle with it. If it's every day, do you get some victory over that? And once you do, the next thing's going to pop up that you're going to battle. You're never just going to wake up and say, I've achieved this. I'm one. I'm on cruise control. No, don't work that way. God's constantly going to be working in our lives. But one of the battles that he won right here is he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Then the Bible says here, look at here. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. Now, you got to think about this. Samson killed a lion, did he not? Who else killed a lion in the Bible? David killed a lion in the Bible. Who else killed a lion? Well, I believe Jesus killed a lion too. Gonna lock him up someday when he battled him. And Satan is the roaring lion that comes at us, don't he? The Bible says here that he slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. I got to thinking about this for a minute. I believe, and the scripture don't say, but I know he had a staff in his hand, because you're going to take a staff and get this Egyptian in a minute. I believe Ben and I was a shepherd. I believe he was. And I believe he had some sheep. And I believe them lions down that southern tip of Edom right there sometimes would come in there and get his old sheep. And I believe that lion was a threat to him all the time. And there come a time, and it's rare, but it does snow there in that area. And there come a time that some snow fell. And this lion, no doubt, was out, and he got down in the pit. And he's going to get down. You ever get down in the pits? You ever heard that said, I'm down in the pits? You ever get down in the dumps? Everybody does. That's part of life. We get up and down all the time. We get down in the pits. But you know what he done when he went down that pit? He went down in the pit, and did battle with a lion, which I believe represents the devil.
Yeah.
And the time that he did it was in a time of snow. So no doubt his footing was very slippery. So I believe he had his right kind of footwear on. I believe he had his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Amen.
And I believe he got in his mindset and he said, I'm going down here, Randall, and I'm going to get in this pit. And one or two things is going to happen in this pit. They're going to be a dead lion or a dead man. But I'm going to take on this lion, and it's caused a lot of problems here. I believe it was a shepherd. And he went down there, and he took out that lion in a pit. Honestly, he was a very courageous man to do that. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 23, the slothful man, listen to this, the slothful man, that's a lazy man, that's not a man that ain't busy. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. What's that mean? The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. Proverbs 22:13. I shall be slain. What's that mean? That means this man gets up. That's what this means. This man gets up, and he gets up in the morning, and he stretches out, and he says, you know what? There might be a lion out there. I think I'll just stay in
today.
And so he gets up the next day, and he says, you know, man, there might be a lion out there. I just think I'll lay in there. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without. They might be out there, might not be out there. I'll be slain. You know, that's the way a lot of Christians are there.
It sure is.
That's the way a lot of people are. Well, you know, if I get real involved with that, the old devil's going to bother me. Folks, we've got victory. Greater is he, 1 John 4, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. God has made you and I, dear people, overcomers over the devil, over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. And we're not going to get any victory. We're not going to see our community change. We're not going to see our people saved until we as God's people learn this stuff and quit being like that slothful man. Ben and I said that lion is done too much. You know why I get up here and preach like we do? I got to think about this week. Why do people come to this church? I'm thinking about this, friend. Why does anybody come to this church? We don't have no big praise and worship team. We're not up here playing big music. We ain't got fancy buildings or nothing else. Why? I got a thing this week. Why do people come to this church right here? It sure ain't because you got polished preacher, because I'm not a polished preacher whatsoever. I'm rude in speech and I slobber and why does anybody? I got a thing about this. Why would anybody come to this church? Why would anybody come here? And God said, because the people that come there, they want to hear truth.
Amen.
And he said, you need to be excited about telling the truth.
Amen.
Because they come there because they want to hear the truth.
That's why they come here.
They want to hear the truth.
Exactly.
And then they want to leave and say, thank God I heard the truth today. I don't live up to it, but praise God, I want to try to. And at least I got my spirit stirred up in me, and I heard the truth. That is why they come. And God said, so they come down there to hear the truth, so you better be excited about telling these people the truth of the Bible. Amen. Amen. That's what it was supposed to be, ain't it? But we got the victory, folks. We're overcomers. And Benaiah took out them two lion-like men, which is part of the flesh. This lion is in a bad time. It's a bad time to go fight lions anytime. But it's sure a bad time when you're down the pit. You ever just get down the pit? That's a bad time to go fight anything. You're just discouraged about something. So he's down the pit, and the timing is snowy. So that ain't good, but he said, you know what, I'm going anyway. And I'm going to get victory over this line. I preach and I pray so much for our families in here, for our dear people to have some victory.
Yeah.
And to fight some of these lines that the devil has brought at you since you've been a child, many of you. The Bible says, 1 John, I love this, chapter 2. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for what his name say. When you get saved, you're saved from what you are. Are you listening? God forgives you for what you do. Because after you're going to get saved, you're going to need forgiveness more and more and more. You're saved from what you are. What are you? A sinner.
Yeah.
That's what God saved you from. Then he forgives you for what you do. Because we mess up in this all the time. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Here it is again. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father,
but of the world.
But is of the world. And the world passeth away.
Yeah.
And the lust thereof, it's going to go. But he, you know who's got this on their tombstone? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We quote him, great preacher. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Overcomers.
Amen.
God has made us over. That word overcome is where we get our word Nike from. That's where the word Nike comes from. Victory. That's where the word overcome means. Victory. We've got victory. And Ben and I said, I'm going to go down that pit. And one or two things are going to happen. A lion ain't coming out or I ain't coming out, but that's going to be dealt with today. Amen.
Amen.
That's got to be your attitude, Jason, that's when
right.
dealing with the devil and dealing with the flesh.
Yeah.
Hey, can't leave no room to play about this. And the things of the world, we're too entangled. That's what's wrong with us. All of us, we're too entangled with the world so much. And it affects us. There's things that we see on the news we don't even glance at anymore. It don't even bother us. And think about this, because we're so entangled up in things of the world. And the devil's real slick about that. And so we get so entangled up in all this stuff. But God has given us the victory. And we can be overcomers. I cannot stand to see people's families ruined, lives ruined and destroyed because the lion just gets them and just pull. You ever seen a dog just tear something up? That's what the devil does to people's lives. Gets it in his teeth, shakes them. They end up in a coffin somewhere and he laughs and goes on to his next victim. But Ben and I is a mighty, mighty man. So I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take care of that lion. Then what the Bible said. I like this next one. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, pleasing to look at, goodly, handsome to look at. The things of the world, they are pleasing and enticing. The devil knows what he's doing. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. What's that spear represent? We learned from Medino, authority. There's authority. Listen, you don't think there ain't power out here in these rock concerts?
Yeah.
You don't think they ain't some sort of spirit behind all this music? You don't think some of these men ain't got a spirit behind them that just draws people to them and persuades people? These politicians and these rock stars and these actors, they got a spirit behind them, buddy. Moves people. I mean, cause people to faint. Can you imagine a man walking by could cause somebody to faint? Think about that for a minute. I don't get it. I do get it. It's a spirit behind that.
That's right.
This stuff's got a strong spirit. This Egyptian was a goodly man. He had a spear in his hand. He has some authority. There's power out here in this world. There's power. The devil's got power. You better know that.
Yes.
Some of these people that kill all these people out here, do all this wicked stuff, and it's like they go undetected and all this for a while. They got the power of demons behind them. And then when they get caught up, the devil just pulls off of them. They're like a little old shriveled up something. You know, how could that man do all that? Because he was demon possessed. They both had the power of the devil on him. When the devil used him up, pulled off of him, Jason. Now the devil's gone on to the next another fellow to ruin his life.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the way it works. There's power out here behind that stuff. You better know that's right. But now look what he did. He went down to him. He didn't come to him. He said, okay, I'm going down to you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and wait you bring it to me. I'm bringing it to you.
Take you up.
Look what he did. He hit him with a staff. That word staff means a limb. It means a stick. I believe it's a shepherd's staff. I really do. That's the same kind of word. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy what? Staff. That shepherd, comfort me. He plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. So he went down there with his little old shepherd staff or little old limb, little switch, took it out of his hand and slew him with his own spear. Now you think about a man. This man's 9'6". He's a big man. Ben and I was going down there. Ben and I done killed a lion in a pit. He done killed two lion-like men. Now I'm going to go take it to you, big boy. And he took it to him. with his little old, he took his staff down there. You know that staff that that shepherd has? It's got some functions about it. One of the functions about that staff, and you've seen the pictures, it's got a crook on the end, a hook on the end. And that shepherd would walk with them sheep. And when the sheep would get down the rock and it get stuck, shepherd would take that little hook and he'd pull it out. When he'd walk with them sheep and the sheep, God, of all the animal creatures, you ever thought about this? Of all the animal creatures, God says we're like sheep.
Yeah.
God picked the dumbest animal. It is. It's dumb. And it's defenseless. It can't fight. It can't bite nobody. It can't run. It ain't fast. It can't claw. I mean, even a rabbit can get in a rock and hide. A sheep can't do nothing but lay there. And a sheep, listen, if you let a sheep go, you read Philip Keller's book, The Shepherd of Psalm 20. That's a wonderful book. He raised sheep over there in New Zealand, and he's a Christian. He pastors a church, and he wrote a book called the Psalm 23, The Shepherd's Look at Psalm 20. Beautiful book. And you know what them sheep do? They don't mean to, but they just start walking. They just wander around, you know. And for long, man, they just get out there. And the wolf knows that. The wolf just lays there and waits on them. The lions just wait. And that's the way we are. If a shepherd don't take that crook, and I'm glad I feel it sometimes. Sometimes you take that crook on me, get back in here. You're getting out of line, son.
Amen.
Get up in here.
Amen.
So that staff's used to get him back in line many, many times. And when he gets down in places and he gets stuck in mud and all this stuff, that shepherd takes that crook and he picks him up. But you know something else that staff is used for? That shepherd be walking around with his sheep. And a lot of times, Cameron, there's a sheep there that's prone to wander. And you know what he'll do? He'll lay that staff, that crook on that sheep's back, right on his spine. And he walks with that crook. It ain't hurting him. He's just laying it on his spine. And he does that until that sheep gets used to walking in step with the shepherd.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God does that to us?
Amen.
Lays it on there. Because he's had to pull me so many times. I get spiritual whiplash. Ricky jerks my neck here and there.
Me too.
Kevin, you hear you getting over here too much? Jerks me over here. Kevin, you're lagging behind, son. Jerk you over here. Kevin, here, where you going, son? Oh, well, you down there? You stuck now, ain't you? Mm-hmm. Jerked you up. Now, come on, walk with me now. Puts that staff right on me. Now, here, now, all right, now. Stay like that a while. Over here's Brett getting off of. We have to get Brett over here now. I'll tell you what, I got Brett lined up. Garrett, just get Garrett back in line. Hey, that's the way God does us right there. And he went down there with his staff. He took that spear from that Egyptian and took what the Egyptian trusted in and got him with it. You know, for all its evilness, this Facebook, this social media stuff, it's been some of the wickedest stuff.
It is.
And it's so addictive. People are so addicted to that. You ever see 40-some-year-old grown men lay in the house all day and play video games and all this stuff? Drew knows I'm death on that stuff. That's my pet peeve. God help get you. Get out and sit on the porch or get a job. Do something. Lord, have mercy. But they sitting there and do that. Listen, so addicted to this stuff right here. But for all that's bad stuff, you know, God's used that. God's took that stuff and used it in good ways, too.
He does, yeah.
He has. There's people going to watch us. They're shut in and sick. There's people overseas that listens to our stuff on this little country church. It amazes me that they do that. I mean, I'm far culturally as a person sitting in England or India, but they listen to us. And ain't that a blessing? But the battles that he had, the Bible says 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Three times, John said. John knew something about being an overcomer,
Amen.
Didn't he? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I'll tell you what, he slew this Egyptian. Well, how did he slew him, Brother Kevin? He took what he had in his hand and overpowered him. Where's that at in the Bible? When a strong man, who's a strong man? The devil. When a strong man armed, he's armed. He is fully armed, keepeth his palace. He keeps his prisoners. He don't want to let go of his prisoners. But Isaiah says he's got his prisoners captive. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Can you see Jesus telling his disciples this? I'm going to tell it to you in Easter takeaway. Boys, what do you think about a man that's strong? He's going to keep his stuff locked up. Yes, Lord, he is. So Jesus said, how are you going to get in there and get his stuff? Stronger than he. Going to have to come upon him and overcome him. He taken from him all his armor wherein he trusted. This man trusted in his spear, didn't he? And divideth his spoils. That's what the Lord does when he saves somebody. Because the strong man's got a hold of people's hearts.
Yeah.
The devil. The strong man's got a hold of people's minds. I can get up here and Garrett get up here and preach their gallbladders dangles at her nose. It ain't going to help. Because the devil's got a lock on it. And buddy, one of the stronger than he comes upon him or her and looses them. He can't do nothing about that. The devil cannot. And I believe sometimes, it's just me thinking, I believe sometimes God says, devil, I'm going to save him, and ain't nothing you're going to do about it. He's seeking me. She's seeking me. They're trying to get their life right, and the devil's like, no, I've got them locked down, buddy. I've got them locked down. I believe God says there's one stronger, and he's getting ready to come upon and overcome him.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't you love that? So that's the battles that he fought. Quickly, and I'm winning right here. He was made the bodyguard. He was set over the captain. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring. The only time that word's used, one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ben and I was a preferring man. You know what the word preferring means? He led the way for others, Cameron.
Yeah.
He gave deference to other people. He didn't care if he got the notoriety.
No.
He didn't care if he got the fame. Ben and I was a mighty, he preferred one another. He done something for David. He didn't care if everybody knows about it. He's just doing it for David. He loved David. He was loyal to David, and he lasted, buddy. I tell you what, he was a man's man. God help you, and God help me to be a brother, Ben and I. God, I'd like to have a brother. We'll name our kids Ben and I. Ain't we? Ben and I. Brother Ben and I. Hey, man, he is my favorite, Ricky, of the 37. Abishai and Shammah was... used to be my favorite. And I got to meditating and studying on Ben and I, Brett. And I said, man, I got fired up thinking about Ben and I. Brother Ben and I. Ricky, if you live to be 200 years old, you're never going to forget about Brother Ben and I. Are you? Amen. We ought to preach about Ben and I more, Randall. Ben and I. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I love you. You love these Sunday school lessons?
Yeah.